rest.
What is up, everybody? This is the Georgia Show. I'm Jake Rowe. He's Palmer Times. We are from Dogs HQ. And Palmer, last night was wild. Last night was a wild news night. Not necessarily, I don't know if you'd even consider it. It would be a very full news day, but when it all drops there in about 90 minutes, there's just so much happened. We're going to get to all of that. We're going to talk Georgia Ole Miss. We're going to hear from a couple of our friends here on the Georgia Show. And we're going to talk about these availability reports from Georgia and Ole Miss that we got a look at for the first time last night. But Palmer, recapping the wild news last night, you and Rusty came on here. CJ Allen commits to Georgia. Does it his own way. CJ Wiley. I've only done that twice today, and it's not even 10 a.m. So, excuse me. CJ Wiley commits to Georgia. Kind of out of the blue in the most CJ Wiley ever, way ever. Kind of surprised everybody. Huge pickup for the Dogs. Availability reports come out. Smile Munden's questionable. Trey Harris for Ole Miss is doubtful. All of that's going on. We're trying to surround that. And then, oh, by the way, Mark Schlabaugh gets a statement from Colby Young's attorney that that there's a sworn affidavit that his alleged victim is claiming that is recanting her story, and the lawyer is demanding that Colby get reinstated and the charges be dropped. So there's just so much going on there in that period of time. Palmer, what had you the most frazzled in the moment?
Probably the CJ Wiley news. Okay. You know, I put it on the board. I was getting ready to, you know, scoop out a bowl of soup and, you know, all of a sudden I'm with some people and I say, oh, you know, and they're like, what happened? And I kind of just run off and go handle the news. And so, I mean, like you said, most CJ Wiley way that it could have happened. You know, I talked to him up at the On3 Elite event, very quiet kid. That's a, you know, description that we hear a lot for him. And so, you know, that was surprising that it happened, but not surprising the way that it did, you know, just kind of out of the blue, as opposed to, I thought I was seeing double there with, you know, your face pulling up. Not surprising the way that it went about, just kind of happened out of the blue. And man, like I said last night, Georgia just adding to a really good receiver class right now, five guys committed. You know, is this the best wide receiver class of the Kirby era? I would say so. I mean, if you can hold on to all five of those guys, I would say that 2019 class that Coley played a part in recruiting that as well, with George Pickens and Dom Blaylock there.
On paper, the one after it's probably the one you're competing with the most, because it had Ladd in it and it had three top 100 guys in it. That 2020 class had Jermaine Burton, Marcus Rosemy, Jack St., Arian Smith, and Ladd McConkey in it. Mm. So I think, yeah, you know, when you, in hindsight, that class is probably the one it has to compete with, especially when you look at this one and the numbers that they brought. I think they also got Justin Robinson in that class, who, yeah, you know, listen, definitely not a bad player, four-star player on the same kind of plane there as a Tyler Williams or a Thomas Blackshear. But Georgia's got two top 100 guys, which is something they did in 19 and 20. And then, James Coley had a big hand in that 2020 class as well. I mean, Arian Smith was a guy that James Coley helped recruit and was a part of his recruitment. Arian told us that, I believe, revealed that earlier this year. I know that Coley was very involved in Jermaine Burton's recruitment as well. So, you know, Coley, listen, this is a very good class. It's a tremendous class. And I do think on paper it's competing with the best class, but it's tough to say up front. But ultimately, you know, I think there's a very good chance. I don't know where CJ Wiley's going to go in the rankings, but I think I'm not going to be shocked if Talon Taylor's a top 20 overall player before this is over.
Let's isolate it to those three classes. 19 that had Blaylock and Pickens.
And Micaiah Tung, who's now playing outside linebacker at Oregon State.
At Oregon State, yep. Those prospects, that 2020 group that you mentioned that had Jermaine Burton, Arian Smith, Marcus Roseman, and obviously Ladd, and then this group right now that's got the five committed. Who's been your favorite prospect of those?
Probably Talon Taylor. Just in terms of watching them as a prospect. I mean, I know he doesn't play the same competition, but listen, Ladd didn't play great competition in high school either, guys. I mean, Ladd was out there doing it a little bit at receiver, a little bit at quarterback.
Let's not act like everybody was in love with Ladd McConkey when he was a
Some were. Like, some saw it. I'll give him credit. Like, he was twitchy and he looked good, man. He was a really athletic, dynamic-looking athlete. Whether he was going to be big enough or strong enough or all that stuff, I mean, you just didn't know. It was a projection-type deal, and I think there were some folks that were excited about it, and some of them just completely blew him off, like, to begin with. But, listen, Georgia, if you want to really get down to the nuts and bolts of it, Georgia didn't give him a scholarship in that first year. Ladd has said that now. Kirby has said that. Other teammates have said it. I think we can talk about it out loud. Ladd was a walk-on when he first came in with probably the agreement that he would get to go on scholarship in year two. But, you know, I think that's the only class, even in hindsight, that can compete with this one kind of on paper because of those three top 100 guys. You know, those three top 100 guys was kind of a big deal there.
Yeah, and the speed that Arian Smith brought to the table there. We'll get to Arian later, a little bit of a hint there. I'm sort of with you. I really like Taylor's game. But Wiley is somebody that's been such a priority and you know, a piece of this class that everybody has been wanting for so long. It comes down to, you know, I think Talon Taylor is the more off the radar guy. That is really good. CJ Wiley is the on the radar guy that is really good. So those two guys, which do you prefer? The guy that, you know, is a little bit more quiet and comes out of nowhere, and or the guy that everybody knows about and you know is a, both very talented players.
In what way are you talking about coming out of nowhere here?
I just don't think Talon Taylor was a name that everybody expected, you know, was really on Georgia's radar for a long time. And I felt like Georgia very quietly recruited Talon Taylor and went about their business with him. And then he commits and it's like, oh, hey, this kid's pretty good. Versus everyone I feel like knows CJ Wiley, you know, that's a really good player.
And
everybody built it up going into that first commitment ceremony.
Yeah, I just feel like Talon Taylor has been ranked higher the whole time. You know, like he's kind of been the higher ranked guy for the whole time. I get what you're talking about over there from the surprise perspective for Georgia.
I also think, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but I also think the playing in Georgia and playing in Metro Atlanta versus playing in Illinois, that factors in.
Yeah, I mean, it's always going to factor in when he's the in-state guy. I like CJ Wiley a lot. I think Georgia fans, if you had asked them back in May, before Talon Taylor committed to Georgia, if you said, hey, listen, you got to pick one, Talon Taylor or CJ Wiley, they would have said CJ Wiley then. Even though Talon Taylor had become a bigger part of the recruiting discussion and seemed like a Georgia lean early in the spring. But I think if you were to pose them that same question right now in terms of how both of these players are performing as seniors, and that's not to say CJ Wiley doesn't look good as a senior, he looks great. But Talon Taylor's been that good as a senior and that's impressive. I think they would pick, you know, make a different pick at that point, Taylor. But listen, they got both of them, which they don't have to choose, which is awesome. And it definitely puts them up there with receiver class. We're going to get to the availability report side of it anyway, but that was just kind of a running interference of something that was just kind of built into the whole thing with two news items around it. And then you got Colby Young.
The CJ Wiley was what kickstarted the chaos.
Yeah, for sure. And then right there in the middle, there was just that injury stuff that got in the way, and then we're all the way working on this Colby Young thing. Listen, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on this. Here's the deal. The alleged victim, Colby Young's alleged victim, is recanting her statement via sworn affidavit that was given to Dogs HQ from attorney Kim Stevens. Mark Schlabaugh of ESPN was the first to report this last night. So what has happened here is the young lady who initially, you know, made the claims against Colby Young has decided that she made them inaccurately, that the police report is slanted, and that it is not an accurate reflection of what happened that night. Apparently that was made approximately 3-4 weeks ago. You know, I've heard that the last couple of weeks there've been kind of a back and forth here, with this whole deal, and, you know, we'll see how it goes, but that's where we're at. And Georgia's part in this is very simple. When the charges get dropped, they get to decide what they've probably already decided they're going to do whenever there's a movement on the charges. Okay. Now, the fact that they haven't dismissed him already suggests to me that if those charges are lifted, he's going to be reinstated. Otherwise, if you're not going to reinstate him when the charges are lifted, go ahead and kick him off the football team.
And the way that Kirby worded it at the time of indefinitely suspended until the legal matters get resolved.
Yeah. And I'm not trying to get into, you know, we got some comments here. I'm not going to try to get into anything, you know, regarding like who's right, who's wrong or anything like that. That's not our place. We don't know all the details. What we do know is that Georgia is going to be keeping a close eye on what the Athens-Clarke County, you know, district attorney decides to do. And my gut feeling prediction is based on what I know about how things go around these parts. I'm thinking about Friday around 3:30 or 4 o'clock, Palmer. Charges that something will happen. They'll drop the charges. They'll announce that they're not going to drop the charges, and you know he'll have to enter a pretrial diversion whatever. I don't know, but I feel like at some point around Friday after 3:30, 4 o'clock, probably Palmer, when we're walking to a restaurant or walking to get a drink or something in Tupelo, Mississippi is when it's going to pop out. When I get as far away from my computer as I've been in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to remember there was something that I felt like went down and both of us had just gotten away from a computer. I can't remember what that would have been.
Yeah, I can't remember that either. It happened in Austin though, I feel like. Was it the Jared Curtis decommitment?
No, because it was the Georgia Florida news when both of us were you were taxiing and I was midair.
That's right,
that's what it was because we had a sense that Curtis could happen and we were in the Delta Sky Club when that went down.
Yeah, for sure.
No. You're right. I was texting with some other reporters this morning that it does feel like, you know, hey, when we're going to be out of pocket, I mean, the Daniel Harris arrest happened. At least that news broke while everybody was on the road to Kentucky. That, you know, Georgia Florida news, Jared Curtis news, these things just and it's not on purpose. It's not intentional, but these things tend to happen while, you know, just coincidentally while we're out of pocket.
For sure,
trying to do other stuff. But Jake, I mean, if that happens and Georgia is able to get Colby Young back, what would that add to this team?
Oh, I mean, first of all, because
Kirby talked about depth this week and you know got a little bit snippy there and said, you know, hey, I've told you guys 1,000 times we don't have enough depth at any position. Wide receiver was the one that was asked about. Georgia played 5 guys last Saturday. One of those played just 2 snaps, being Sakovi White. But Arian Smith, Dylan Bell, Dominic Glovett, and London Humphreys. I was trying to think of who the 4th receiver was, and he didn't play all that much. You know, as compared to the other.
It's definitely a set of fresh legs. It is a set of fresh legs and some know-how and some ball being played. Was developing a rapport there with Carson Beck. I felt like before he went out, I don't think it's going to take him long to get back on the field. I would be very shocked if he hasn't worked hard to stay in shape over the past few weeks. If you think about this timeline deal, and they've been working on this for the past 3 or 4 weeks,
it's been less than a month since he was arrested.
Right. Yeah. So if the alleged victim has been working on this since the jump, then Colby if he's smart, has been really working hard at trying to stay, you know, kind of where he was. A few weeks off is a lot, and it's a lot even for a senior, especially for a senior transfer. But I do think that integrated into the offense as he was, it shouldn't take long for him to get back. I mean, I think there's, you know, no chance for Ole Miss, and probably maybe a tiny, tiny chance for Tennessee if everything gets sorted out. But again, we just don't have all the details and can't even guesstimate on kind of how that'll work. Palmer, what we do know how to work, and with varying degrees of success, is Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily skill-based fantasy. If you know what you're doing, you can make some money if you know what you're doing. And sometimes Palmer and I act like we know what we're doing. Sometimes we actually know what we're doing. And most of the time we really don't. So Prize Picks promo, use the promo code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S. And Palmer, tell them what they win.
Yeah, you get $50 on your first play of five, win or lose, using promo code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S. And Prize Picks, it's a really fun way to get involved in the game and you know, have some skin in the game, whether it's Georgia taking on Ole Miss, you know, a game that you're probably a little bit more invested in, or, you know, you want to look around the country. You know, we're going to have a play in Alabama LSU, a game that we'll be watching, you know, as we're driving, you know, and leaving the press box there. So, you know, really, really fun way to play and be engaged. This week, our plays: Carson Beck, more than 270.5 passing yards. Jake, you pointed out that there is a line out there for 273.5 passing plus rushing, but Ole Miss is a team that leads the nation in sacks, and those sack yards take away from that rushing yard. So we're playing it a little bit safer there, but the payout's going to be the same. Carson Beck, 270.5 passing yards, against a really good run defense, and a, you know, being with a banged up Trevor Etienne, you know, Georgia probably going to want to throw the ball around. As a result, Arian Smith, I told you we were going to talk about him eventually, 56.5 receiving yards. We're going more there. So those are our two guys that
I think he's going to get that on one play. I think he'll have over 56.5 on one play.
Hey, and if the trends continue, it's probably going to be an important third down, because he's up clutch for Georgia in each of the last two games on very important third downs. Arian Smith, 56.5 receiving yards. We're going more. And then I'm going with Jam Miller here to score a touchdown against LSU. Six of eight games that Alabama has played this season, he has scored. He scored two their last time out. I think it's going to be really important there. And you know, I know you're high on Jalen Milroe and his chances, but I think Jam Miller, rushing or receiving, finds the end zone.
I was high on Jalen Milroe. There was one of those multipliers in there on Jalen Milroe to throw more than a half interception, and I wanted that one because I, you know, tip ball, whatever. I felt like Jalen Milroe probably throw one interception against LSU. So it was a half interception, and I wanted to pick the over. So that's what I was high on with Jalen Milroe. What I'm not high on are these availability reports, Palmer, and because I think there's just some misleading information in them. Smile Munden is questionable. Smile Munden is not going to play against the fighting Ole Miss Rebels. He's not going to play against Ole Miss. If he does,
what will you do, Jake? Let's hear. Will you shave your beard on the Georgia show?
No, I don't think so. I told him this week though, if with the Zachariah Branch entering the transfer portal news, I don't even know if that I think that might have even been fake. But it kind of made its way around, and we were discussing in our thread, and I said I would go like mustache and chops, just kind of cut them right here and go mustache, like just for like a month if Zachariah Branch ended up at Georgia. That's how confident I am that's not going to happen. Smile Munden is not going to play. I don't see it happening. And if he does, I mean, I'll say I'm wrong. I'm just from what I've heard, from what I've seen, from what I know, I just don't see it happening. Now, I do think you start to get into Tennessee, UMass, Georgia Tech territory with him. Yeah, I think that's possible. Am I missing a game in there? Is Tennessee, UMass, and Georgia Tech?
Tennessee, UMass, Georgia Tech, yeah.
Okay. So, but then you look at the other side.
Especially, and to go back to that point, Georgia's got a travel roster that they, and I know 74 is a lot of guys, but you want to be a little bit more careful on the road about taking a guy that's got, you know, no chance of playing.
Yeah.
At home, you know, that's a little bit easier, especially when you get into UMass and Georgia Tech, where there's no limitations on how many guys can dress.
That's right. Yeah. Great points. Great points all around for that one. On the other side of things, Trey Harris listed as doubtful. Now, Rusty seems to think there's no chance that Trey Harris is missing this game, that Trey Harris is going to play. I tell you what, man, after covering Georgia football the last couple of years, two or three years, and seeing how ankle injuries can kind of linger around with these guys, I don't know, man. Like, I mean, Palmer, I get kind of Ladd McConkey against Alabama vibes with this one a little bit, even if he is able to play.
Yeah, he was able to dress last week against Arkansas, but did not play. Is it an ankle? Because I've heard that it could be a hamstring groin type deal. Very little information.
I wasn't trying to say that's exactly what Trey Harris has been dealing with. I was just saying, like, given the, you know, I don't know what he's dealing with. I just know that, like, just looking at specific ankle injuries at Georgia the past couple of years, things just linger, man.
Yeah.
It's hard to get out in a tough situation. But I did make that comparison, lad, so I see where you come from.
And it's not just Trey Harris. I mean, Jordan Watkins, who had five touchdowns against Arkansas, 280-something receiving yards. He's also listed as doubtful. Are you not buying that?
Okay, well, maybe Rusty's got a point then. I didn't realize that. I don't know about that.
Caden Lee, who's their number two receiver, questionable. Their number one running back is out. That is Henry Parrish, the Miami transfer. But their number two running back, Matt.
What did our OM Spirit guys tell you about it?
They're a little bit skeptical. I was told, you know, hey, and I think that they said this on their board as well, but you know, there could be some gamesmanship here being played. You know, you look at 26 guys being listed is a lot.
They've had some long reports this year, though. I don't know if that's the longest one they've had. But
this whole first year of the SEC availability report has been interesting, just kind of to follow how each school approaches it. We've seemed to figure out that, you know, there are guys that Georgia has that are out, that are not happening. You know, hey, and we want to, you know, shout out James Stevens here, new member. Appreciate that.
Yeah, man. James. Appreciate you, James.
But, you know, Georgia's had some guys that are out, you know, that are not playing, that haven't been, you know, listed on the availability report. To Georgia, it seems like, hey, if you're on the availability report, you're probably somebody that we think can play. At Ole Miss, that may not be the case because they've got some guys that are, you know, haven't played at all this year that are listed as out or doubtful or whatever it may be. But that's a long one, and you know, if it's complete BS from Lane Kiffin, I think there could be a fine coming his way. You know, we already saw Greg Sankey come down and you know, kind of crack the whip on you know, these fake injuries that seem to be happening at Ole Miss. So you know, maybe the availability report, you know, and the way that they're handling that, it could be next. So it's a lot of players. I mean, and it's not just on offense. You know, J.J. Pegues and you know, Jared Ivey, both, you know, two incredible defensive linemen listed as questionable. You know, you've got several guys on there listed as probable. To me, I don't really, you know, if you're listed as probable on Wednesday, feel pretty good about your chances to be good to go on Saturday. I think that there's a lot of guys that are probably dealing with some bumps and bruises at Georgia that are not listed as probable.
It feels like a data dump. It feels like you're drowning them in information. Not that necessarily that they will like miss the fact that somebody is doubtful or might not play in this game, but I don't know.
You missed that Jordan Watkins was doubtful.
Yeah. I feel like somebody's hurt. Obviously, somebody's dinged up.
Trey Harris is hurt.
Trey Harris has missed the last two games.
No doubt about that.
Yeah. So, you know, that's how you look at it. You know, he's missed the last two games. And, you know, that's something that, you know, ultimately that's the guy you point to, because I mean, they're just surrounding him with other receivers, with other elite players, all of that stuff. So it's kind of wild, man. It's kind of wild to look at it that way. And I don't know, man, Ole Miss seems to be kind of using these, and I don't know if there's any advantage to be gleaned from it. Georgia's just going to prepare for the really good players and try to be ready for them, you know, and they're going to have personnel sorted out for the guys that are playing behind them and all that stuff. There's not a whole lot of guesswork here. There's not a whole lot that can be done out of it. Just gives us a lot to talk about, I guess. It's kind of ultimately the way you go with it.
Two more shout outs for folks in the comment section. Corn Alien, we see you. We appreciate you. And DGD Podcast, you're a member over here, and we appreciate you guys tuning in.
All right, tune in this weekend, NFHS. There will be no high school football, based on what we know, or there's not much, at least in the state of Georgia. But there is, or for Georgia commitments, but listen, there is NFHS content all over the place. It is your spot for prep sports all over the country, every state. You know, the state of Georgia is absolutely loaded week in and week out. You need this for the future. You need it for the now. If you're looking at other sports, volleyball, softball, baseball during the spring. I mean, there are so many different sports on this, and it is tremendous. Use the promo code GODOGS25, and you will get 25% off of your first month of NFHS. It's great, and it's supporting a great cause too, a chance to get high school athletics onto the screen and get viewers in and give people chances to see friends and loved ones and interesting things. Grows the sport, I feel like, and NFHS is doing a tremendous job with that. We appreciate it. Their partnership means a lot to us, for sure. All right, Palmer.
Hey, is it not the first weekend of the playoffs?
It might be, yeah. And that's I think that's what we're kind of running into here in a lot of spots, and a lot of the, you know, playoffs are going to be kind of tough to
see some out. Saturday games listed here, so you know, if you want to tune in and check out some Saturday football, definitely less games being listed, and I think the playoffs starting probably has something to do with that.
For sure. All right. Ole Miss, Georgia, matchups and predictions. Palmer, I'm going to start us off, man. When I look at this Georgia-Ole Miss matchup, I see an Ole Miss team that struggles to run the football. Six yards per carry for the first four games of the season. Low 3 yards per carry since. They've only gotten over 4 yards per carry one time, and they lost that game to LSU. So they struggled to run the football. Georgia's doing the same thing. Ole Miss, they're good at stopping the run. I think their tackles for loss kind of skew those numbers just a little bit. I think some teams have been able to have some running back success against them and some running quarterback success. I think Georgia, it's going to be a challenge there, but I think it's one that Georgia has a chance to exploit a little bit. The thing I'm worried about in this game the most, and I think the one matchup that has a chance to be exploited maybe harder than any other matchup, and Georgia's got its counter on the other side, is the receiver matchup against, you know, if they're healthy at receiver, the way they throw the ball downfield and the way they're going to challenge Georgia to play a football in the air is going to be very interesting to me. On the other side, can Georgia beat them up front and kind of do what it did to Texas and just make life a living hell for Jackson Dart? I think you're going to get a mix of it. This is not one of those things where I think one team is going to get the better of the other in either category. I think Carson Beck takes care of the football. And listen, I get it. I've been saying that a few times. I think a lot of people have been saying that a few times. I think Carson Beck would tell you before these last few games, I'm going to take care of the football. But I think he does a better job of it in this game. And I like Georgia. I don't know exactly what I'm looking at as far as score, but my gut tells me, and I was wrong about the Alabama game, dead wrong, but my gut tells me about this one that this is going to be kind of a low 20s type game. I picked Ole Miss in the preseason, but I picked Georgia to go 11-1. I'm leaning more towards that 11-1 right now than I am keeping the same Ole Miss pick. But that's how I look at the matchups.
Yeah, I like Georgia's chances here on Saturday. You know, let's not forget that last time Georgia and Ole Miss played, things went really well for Georgia, 52-17. And I know Ole Miss has undergone, you know, an identity change. You know, at least they've tried to do that this offseason. They've gone out and they've beefed up the defensive lines. They've kept and added talent at the receiver position, and offensively. But just like we said, they're banged up. They could be banged up. They could be missing some of those players. I think Jackson Dart is a really good football player, and I think he's a perfect player for what Lane Kiffin wants to do. And I think that the two of them very much benefit from each other. That being said, I really like Georgia's chances here to kind of come out and make a statement again. I didn't expect it against Texas. I think I might be expecting it now. They did not play their best game against Florida. Going into that Texas game, they didn't play their best game against Mississippi State. But we've seen Georgia respond to, I don't even know if I want to call it lackluster play or bad play, but just disappointing play. I think that they would, the players would say that they're probably a little bit disappointed. Obviously you're not going to complain about a win. You'd rather learn from a win than a loss. But I think that there's probably a bad taste left in their mouth from their last outing of just, not feeling like it was their cleanest game and looking, they can go to the doctor and clean a lot of things up. And so to me, I think with national narrative of maybe a little bit of doubt for Georgia again, I think this is the kind of game that they come out and make a big statement.
Listen, the hay's in the barn at this point, and that's where kind of that playing the underdog card, playing that nobody believes in you card really pays off the most is in that week of practice leading up, and that's where we are with Georgia. And it's Thursday, and man, I'm excited about this game, excited to get there. As you have pointed out, at the games that I've been in the press box this year, Georgia has won all of them by at least 10 points. In the games that I have not been there in the press box, Georgia has a 1-point win and a 7-point loss. So hopefully we can keep that streak alive this week. What you got for us here?
Hmm.
What is this in the background here? What do you got for us to bring on?
I was just looking at the why it didn't look like there was as much high school football. The because of the hurricane, this is the bye week and
the hurricane makeup week. Okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
The that playoff makes football that we saw on there was not GHSA. It was GIAA and some other different.
Okay, gotcha. That makes sense. Yeah, there was a makeup weekend, so that makes a lot of sense. So
yeah.
Glad Palmer was able to find some answers for you. Listen, stay tuned to this channel. We got Dogs HQ Plus, the recruiting edition, coming for you later on today.
Recruiting and, or team?
Do what now?
Recruiting or team?
We started with team this week.
Okay.
We had to move team back to – we had to move the team side, the football Tuesday side of it, because we do X's and O's on Tuesdays. Yeah. So, doesn't make any sense to make people wait for X's
and
O's.
And today is a good day to be talking some Georgia recruiting.
No doubt. Georgia's got a lot of momentum. So we'll be back with you later today to do that. Rusty and I will be. But for this one, that's all we got. Y'all have a great weekend, and we'll see you on Sunday.